last two decades, artificial technology has become embedded in every aspect of our society and lives. What do we really need to know about AI in 2023? Hello and welcome to Megasera, a podcast that communicates with communicators. This episode is brought to you in association with DigiTales. I am Namita Ramani Sharma, your host for this episode. Our guest today will break down the fact for us that the platforms like ChatGPT and many more will be a double-edged sword for the marketing and communication industry. We'll also get to know about his interesting globetrotting journey today. Tune in to hear the fascinating and marketing communication insight from our guest for this episode, Ms. Chetan Krishnamurthy, Vice President Marketing and Communication at APAC IBM. So you started your journey at Terra Recon and Inc. at US, where you were dealing with AI in 2007. All through your journey, you've been connected with technology, cloud, enterprises. I would like to know your views on the buzzword like AI and ChatGPT reinventing the way companies communicate with its stakeholders. We'll go through a big shift from your perspective. Will we be allowed to create news for our company, or we'll have a long way to go?
Oh, great. Thank you, Namita. First of all, we really appreciate, you having me here. Look, I mean, if you look at AI, I think the key for successful adoption, implementation of anything artificial intelligence or, data analytics, right? And how obviously assisting and augmenting what all of us do, right? I think that's the fundamental design point for a lot of the AI solutions that, I have come across and that we work on, right? It's always about augmented intelligence. That is, you help folks do their job better, easier, faster, and so on, right? That's the whole purpose. That is to augment, work. Now, if you look at essentially how some of these solutions have obviously evolved, we started seeing a lot of application of AI initially in things like conversational agents or virtual agents, right? And there's a big role for us as marketers or communicators, right? It's about how do you kind of reach, engage with customers 24/7, be able to obviously handle initially things like frequently asked questions, for example, right? Let's say you have an organization that obviously has a series of products and your clients, for example, want to discover these products. This becomes a really very good entry point for clients to come and ask some of the information on these products. It's available 24/7, for example. You could, get a series of information about some of these things and already be aware of what the organization can provide in terms of products, solutions, and services, right? So that, I think, is obviously a very good, use case that, and you will see this, Asia Pacific, you'll see it in all countries and things like that, right? That definitely is one. Now, the other interesting thing for us, I think, as, marketers and communicators is also to look at what is the right thing to do for an end client, right? Because the design for any solution, AI, not AI, is always around the clients. You got to put the clients at the center of the journey, and that hasn't changed, right? That's the fundamental design point. Now, it all starts with empathy, right? You got to empathize with the client, what he or she is actually feeling as they go through the journey with an organization, right? It could be a buying journey, it could be a solution journey, it could be an implementation journey, whatever the journey is for the client, right? So you got to put the client at the center. Then it all starts with looking at what are the clients feeling, what are they saying, what are they doing, what are they thinking? And when you do that, that essentially then becomes the basis for design. And if you start many of your solutions designed this way, then technologies, like you said, like AI, data analytics, and many other such, what I call our exponential technologies, fit to solve that purpose, which is essentially to make sure that you can do the best for the client. That's the fundamental premise for all the design, right? That's where I think solutions start from, and I don't see this any different for, building AI solutions, for example. Now, how does this help, right? For example, if you have a client coming into the organization and they've worked with you before, and if you have enough insight on certain things that he or she would be interested in as they're engaging with you, that becomes a very, very powerful tool for obviously the agents and the employees to engage the client on with a lot more confidence. And here again, AI can play a big role, and data analytics can play a big role because it can help you and determine what is the next best action or the next best offer for a particular client, he or she coming into the organization, into that journey, either in store or online or both, to be able to deliver that, what I call a very personalized experience for the client, right? And I think technologies like AI and analytics, again, help to make the experiences personalized and to equip, you know, the employees, for example, to make better decisions as they engage, you know, with clients, right? These are examples, right? I mean, there are also examples where technologies like AI and analytics have been applied to look at emerging trends, for example, so that you can bring in products and solutions that are relevant to the market versus bringing in a lot of things that may or may not be relevant at that point of time. At least it'll give you more confidence in some of the decision making that you're, you know, that you're undertaking. So these are some of the spaces where I see, obviously, you know, AI solutions, AI powered solutions, analytics powered solutions, you know, going on. Mm-hmm. Now, add another dimension, which is an interesting dimension because you talked about, you know, many other technologies. Mm-hmm. The key, you know, Namita, is still data security and governance, right? Because as an organization, if you're working for a bank, an insurance company, or a technology company, or any company for the matter, while you're doing all of these things, you still have to take care of data security. You got to take care of how you protect your data. You got to make sure that everything that you do from end to end is obviously secure and there is governance built around it. Even here, in some cases, obviously, you know, even cybersecurity, AI plays a big role, right? Mm-hmm. To handle threats, for example, like proactive threat handling and things like that. Then the governance layer helps protect all of this so that your client is comfortable interacting with you, you know, as an organization. That's pretty much kind of where I look at this today.
Yeah, a different perspective altogether. Right. So, like you've already mentioned that, you know, the center should be the customer and what sort of behavior, what sort of feeling, what sort of understanding do they have of the brand. So you worked in India as well. You worked on the other parts of Asia as well. What do you think differs from the customer base in India and the rest of the Asia? So would you just throw some light on that?
Yeah, look, I think the key, it's a good question, by the way. I mean, you know, especially if, you know, for me growing up, obviously, and going to, you know, college, for example, in India, and obviously I am from Bangalore. And I think for us, if you look at any country, for that matter, first of all, I think, Namita, the general philosophy for design in many cases needs to be a customer of one design, right? Because you got to look at every customer individually, he or she. And the challenge here is you need to be able to do this in scale. Now, if you look at India as a market itself, the fact that it's such a diverse market, there are so many different languages, obviously, that that, you know, people speak in, depending on which state you're in. There is so much of adoption of technology. There is so much of application of technology. And you also have a base that's constantly getting educated, skilled, and obviously entering the workforce. There's a lot of aspirational, need in terms of buying newer products and newer solutions, right? And there is access, right? So if you look at India as a market, just because of the nature of the diversity, you gotta somehow find specific areas that you want to engage in, right? For example, if you want to do a language, pivot on a particular, you know, product set, you have to go all in. That means that everything that you do in terms of how your web pages look like, how your mobile experiences look like, even if you're building AI solutions, you know, local languages, all of that becomes very, very, very important. And add to this the fact that the number of folks that you have to obviously talk to multiplies exponentially when you obviously come into India. You also have to have the scale in terms of being able to serve the needs of so many clients at once while being able to differentiate with specific sets, you know, in terms of language, as I said, in terms of, you know, buying groups, decision groups, all of that comes into picture, right? So it is obviously complex when you look at it both in a B2B setting or in a, you know, B2C setting, right? That's the one thing I would say. As in markets where there is a lot more uniformity in terms of languages spoken, in terms of adoption of technology, for example, I'm not saying it's easy, but at least it takes away some dimension of complexity that you will have to probably deal in when you come into a market like India, right? So you gotta deal again, start with, you know, what are you in it for? What are the big bets that you're willing to make? And how deep are you willing to go in terms of investing on this whole journey, like starting all the way from digital, you know, up to supply chain, for example, and fulfillment and how you engage. That would be a very thought through strategy and how deep, you know, you want to go to, right? And even, you know, many things, right? Like obviously the product fit as well. Like, you know, how much of customizations do you have to do in some cases to make it relevant to the local market? All of that, I think, is obviously a lot more magnified, I think, when you come into a diverse market like India, Namita. That's how I look at it.
How is it different from the rest of the countries in Asia?
Yeah, so look, I mean, if you look at some of the other countries in Asia, if you get into ASEAN, as obviously it's a region, it's not a country, it's obviously a region, but even here, you will see something very, very similar, right? I mean, there are similarities in terms of, you know, the language sets and the fact that, you know, people speak different languages. There are different levels of maturities in terms of technology adoption and things like that. So there, I think you will end up doing something very, very similar. The only difference would be the kind of areas that you want to work on might be different. For example, India might have a certain priority, for example, say on payments and digital banking. But if you go into some of the other countries, you might see a different set of things that they're working on. For example, API economy might be a big focus, or sustainability, for example, may be a big focus, right? So that's the one thing that you will kind of notice. There will be similarities in scale and diversity, but then you'll end up seeing that the problems or the areas to focus on end up being you know, a lot more different. But I think in some ways, if you've worked on some of these regions, you can actually draw parallels, and you can also use certain things that you draw from working with folks in those countries and use those actually to scale, right? Which is where I think we as marketers and communicators come in, because then you can actually understand what's happening in market one. A certain thing worked in market one, and you can take that and say, I feel that there's an opportunity for this to work in market two because I see certain things that actually match the model that I built for myself in market one, right? So that's the other big opportunity that you get when you, you know, end up working across, you know, some of these markets, right? There are diversities, there are differences, but you can find certain commonalities to pivot on, I would say.
Wow, interesting. So my next question is, this whole changing scenario of new skill adoption, like the role of communication and marketing professional is also changing with the whole fragmented customer segments and, you know, a whole of a customization. So what do you think newer skills that are required to lead the marketing and communication for any organization, like just to be updated? You're upskilling yourself. So what are the skills that you think would be relevant for these times?
Absolutely. And I think Namita, as you rightly said, it comes to building the right kind of, you know, mental models for that discipline as you enter. Like, you know, like in this case, it's marketing and communications. I generally look at this as, you know, two connected skill sets, right? It's, you can look at it as soft skills and what are more hard skills or functional skills. In terms of the new age, you know, skills that you have to develop from a soft skills perspective, which I'll start first, which I think is critical. I think you've got to be able to, you know, collaborate. When I say collaborate, you've got to be able to think about connecting the dots. For example, if I'm a social, you know, professional, my expertise happens to be social media. Do I have the interest, the understanding and the temperament to be able to think through as to how this will impact the funnel of marketing, all the way from, you know, building awareness to actually closing an opportunity? Do I have the understanding, for example, as to how does this connect to all of that? And can I be a part of the process? I think becomes one. And that comes down to having, like I said, the right temperament, having the right kind of collaboration skills, the right kind of communication skills. I think has become more and more critical, right? You cannot work in silos anymore. You got to look at this end-to-end while being expert in your area, right? Which basically goes back to the notion of the T-shaped skill. And, you know, some people use that. You got to be deep, but you got to understand and be able to connect. So that, I think, is one. You know, connecting the dots is definitely one. And the second one, I think, in this is basically be able to empathize with each other, right? Because there are different part of the funnel which might operate at different speeds, you know, essentially because of various constraints, right? Because of, you know, creation of content, because of process. There are so many, you know, levers to how fast the funnel can operate. And the key is to be able to empathize with each other and handle flow accordingly, I think, is a very important skill. And the third one, I think, is stakeholder management, right? I don't even know if that's the right word. I think it's more stakeholder partnership in the new age. As marketing becomes more and more a growth function now, you know, as you see that a lot more of that is coming out, you got to be able to partner with the stakeholders, whether it's your sales team, whether it's your ecosystem, whether it's your technical sales team in organizations where it's there, customer success. How do you partner with all of them? I think it becomes a very important thing. So I would say empathy, being able to kind of collaborate and, you know, work together and be able to connect the dots, I think are the three, you know, I feel emerging and strong soft skills that are needed. Mm-hmm. On the hard skills side, I think the ability to understand a business problem I think it's more relevant than ever. Like, you can define the campaign, you can understand how to do PR and social and brand, all of that. But do you understand the business, and do you understand what moves the business in a country? I think it's a very important skill. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be able to understand how the ecosystems are set up, you know, the incentives that are there for the organization, the priorities and the clarity. That, I think, is one. And the second one, I think, is if you are a product or a technology company, you need to be able to have enough understanding and depth of products and solutions. And you should be confident enough to go and articulate this, I think, in front of, say, clients and ecosystem of partners, right? Mm-hmm. So that becomes you developing a little bit more of depth on tech and solutions. And the third one, I think, is on data. I think be able to look at data, you know, in terms of what does it mean and also how it connects. It goes back to the same thing, right? It's like looking at a map. If I look at a piece of the map, obviously it'll give me certain information, but if I can zoom back out and look at the overall grid, it'll give me a lot more detail, because it also tells me how things are connected to each other, right? And how do I get to that end state, which comes from business understanding. Because to me, the skills of developing a campaign, the skills of, you know, building this whole digital journey and stuff like that exists quite a bit, and you're continuing to sharpen it, but you have to augment with these skills like business understanding, being able to connect and being able to understand data and be able to apply this back to improve the funnel. I think is a very, very critical skill, because you have to do more with less.
Absolutely.
To be a growth driver to the organization. And I think that's where it comes from. That's how I look at it.
Wow, interesting, interesting. You've summed it all. I think the PR professionals has to be an accountant. The last question I have it for you is, what do you think are the, so sustainability, right? You said that it's a buzzword, and a lot of people are basically keeping an eye on it, becoming more serious about it. So what do you think a marketer could do, apart from basically creating a narrative around it? Do, can we basically accept or implement any sort of practices to be more sustainable when it comes to our marketing practices?
No, absolutely right. I think, you know, your question, I think it goes, you know, twofold. One is the, obviously the organization itself, you know, adopting sustainability, you know, practices, right? That definitely is one. And to us, right, it also starts with how do you take some of these things first up to the market and be able to talk to the clients or end users, first of all, about how we as an organization can be a part of those sustainable goals, right? That is one dimension, which we will talk about. And the second dimension is, how do we kind of bring in certain practices that obviously are sustainable in terms of being able to go and apply and deploy this in the market, right? There are two dimensions to this, I would say, right? So to me, the first thing is, you know, if the product set itself that you have, you are obviously talking about this from a sustainability perspective. It could be, for example, reduction of power consumption in some cases, right? Like, can I talk and can I help you reduce, for example, the energy consumption that's actually happening? That's definitely, you know, one that comes in from a product perspective. Can I help you in terms of being able to uncover reporting in terms of, you know, sustainability perspective? That becomes one. Third could be talking about, you know, from a consulting perspective, can I come with the organization and can I identify areas where they can actually go and work with and be able to make that impact? It's the third one, right? So these are all, you know, things that you can actually talk to your clients and be able to connect that story and help them with certain imperatives that are important. Now, from a marketing perspective, I do think there are many, many opportunities, right? For example, instead of printing collaterals and materials, can you actually shift some of that to a QR code? And can you leverage some of that? Those are very simple things that you can do, right? And you can also obviously use material that's obviously recyclable when you actually get into some of these events and actually contribute towards, you know, making sure that you are a part of that. A sustainability event, for example, needs to use sustainable, you know, material, for example, in terms of whatever is, you know, leveraged in some of those programs, and minimize as possible, right? The third, you know, dimension to this, I think, is a lot more on, you know, brand building as well, right? Because, you know, depending on the organization and how you work with some of these causes, and genuinely so, because your products speak to it, the way you go to market speaks to it, and then you're working with agencies and with partners to be a part of certain causes that actually make a difference to the environment, to make a difference to the people, I think it's the third dimension. And you will see, obviously, you know, the cleaning drives, for example, that, you know, folks are a part of, you will see people actually going in and taking out plastic from the ocean, which I think is a very, very, very big imperative. And there are partnerships, there are solutions that obviously are leveraged to do some of these things in terms of identifying, in terms of collection and things like that. Mm-hmm. That becomes your third lever, because then it becomes very genuine, because you're connecting all the three. Because your product set is speaking to that language and genuinely so helping the clients. When you show up externally, you're doing this consciously, and your events speak to you being a sustainable organization, as an, just as one example. And then the third one is the partnerships and how your employees engage and drive through the same cause. I think all three of them connect. And then I think you can actually make an impact and a push towards this, you know, in one single direction, Amita. And I think the last dimension that I'll add, and I think this is a little bit, you know, off from the definition of sustainability, I think the other piece is also about skilling and awareness, right? Yes. Because as an organization, if you play that part in skilling the broader community, in equipping the broader community with awareness, being able to partner with schools and universities and things like that, that I think can have a profound impact. Because as these folks enter the workforce, they're already trained in terms of mentally as to what this means and why this is so important, then I think all four dimensions end up connecting in one direction. It can make a genuine impact on the society and on the people. That's how I look at it, Amita.
Wow. That makes sense. Interesting. Yeah, of course. So thank you so much for joining us. It was lovely, very insightful talking to you. And of course, we'll invite you for the future podcast as well, when we have specific things to talk about.